Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Amen. So even now, we've been working through hope stories and a variety of stories that are here, Hope Elim stories, that if we had the chance to tell your story, if we had the chance to tell each and every one of our stories, we all would be encouraged. We all would understand that we're not alone and going through some things. Sometimes we think when we go through life and there's some issues in our lives, we think we're the only one. And oftentimes, life may not be so bad. It's just that when things happen, those things that are issues, those things that are predicaments and situations, they stand out amidst everything else. Even when there are some things that we are happy about, we're joyous about, it's the trials, it's the hardship, it's the hard times. They stand out above everything. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we may think that life just is just no good. Life is not going to get any better in the midst of blessings, in the midst of opportunity. And so as we think about hope stories and Hope Elim stories, it's sometimes filled with loss. Sometimes our Hope Elim story, sometimes it's hardship. Sometimes it's hard things. And when we come to church, we come to get some good news. There is some good news, but sometimes we got to sit in the situations of our lives. And if we could allow ourselves to sit with it for a little while, then maybe we become more aware of what God is doing. And so I want to kind of highlight a little bit of some of the things that sometimes overwhelm us. If you're here this morning and you're wrapped up in a situation right now, it's a little bit overwhelming. You feel like maybe you're drowning, like it's too much. If I'm in the right house, can you just wave at me if you're in a situation where life is a little bit overwhelming? Okay, I see you. The fact is that we all sometimes are overwhelmed. We feel swamped, feel like it's too much, feel like there's too many things that is happening at the same time. And we don't know if we can put ourselves in a place to where we can manage it. Maybe you're here this morning and it's not just swamped, but you feel squeezed. That maybe the way life is right now, you feel like you're backed in the corner. And swamped, but yes, you're pressed. There's some pressure in your life. I hope you learn stories. Sometimes it just comes with a lot of pressure. A lot of decisions that need to be made. A lot of things that need to be managed. Yes, we come into the community and we come into church, but when we leave, we still got to go into our lives. And sometimes, even the moment you leave, somebody right now is being squeezed and overwhelmed by situations. Please know, you're not the only one. We're all in this thing together. Sometimes you just beat down. Sometimes you've been trying. You've been praying that prayer. You've been coming Sunday after Sunday. You've been holding on to your hope. But sometimes life just beats you down. Sometimes it just doesn't go your way. Not because God is trying to do a thing in your life. Sometimes life is just, it sucks. Sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes it's in the midst of trying to do everything you can to be healthy, sometimes you still get sick. Sometimes it's overwhelming because you are the person that everybody else turns to. You are the one that holds it together. You're the glue. You don't have a time to get sick. You don't have time to have things not go your way. There's too much pressure. You're too much things you got to do. You're overwhelmed. But you get sick too sometimes. Sometimes life don't work out the way you want it to. Even though you are the one who is the more spiritual in the family, you get sick too. Sometimes the loss is death. Hope Elim, we have stories. Listen, sometimes it's hard. We got to embrace sometimes the fact that sometimes we lose our mother and our father. And it's hard. It's hard for everyone. Sometimes it's the loss of a son or a daughter. Sometimes it's a friend or a loved one. And when it happens, it's just too much sometimes. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been working it out. But sometimes it's overwhelming. The waves come with grief and loss. Sometimes it's a job. You figure out, man, I've been working, I've been trying to do this thing right, and now I see that God is moving in a different direction, and I don't know, sometimes you lose a job. And you think it's over. No, it's not. It's not over. And today, I want to talk about how do we go from overwhelm to overflow. How do we get there? How do we get to a space and a place when it looks like it's over? It looks like it's too much. What does the Word of God say about when we feeling like we're drowning, feeling like things are too much for us? Maybe you're here today. Maybe all of us are in this place. There's something about our lives. It's too much. And God said there's a space and a place that we can get to overflow. In our text, in John 5, there was a festival. It didn't say what festival. It could have been the Passover. It could have been Pentecost. But Jesus, knowing that there would be a gathering of people, knowing that it would be a festival, there would be a celebration, Jesus went from Galilee, went to Jerusalem, and the Bible says that his entry point into Jerusalem was at the sheep gate. By the way, the sheep gate was, in Nehemiah, the third chapter, says, when Jerusalem and the walls were in ruins, the very first gate, the very first door that was built by Nehemiah was the sheep gate. And it was the high priest and the leadership of the church that built the first gate. There were 10 gates. There was the sheep gate. Then after the sheep gate, there was the fish gate. Then there was the dung gate, the valley gate. There was the water gate, not that one. There was the water gate, the fountain, the east, the inspection gate. But it was the sheep gate. Jesus did not go into Jerusalem to a place of prestige. He did not go to the palace. He went to the sheep gate. How fitting the shepherd, the good shepherd, would choose to go through the sheep gate. How fitting the place in the sheep gate where sheep and lambs were brought in to be sacrificed at the temple. How fitting that Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, how fitting Jesus, the one, the only door, the only gate that any man can go in and come out and get to an almighty God. It was Jesus. It says that he went to the sheep gate. And near the sheep gate, there was a pool, a body of water that was called Bethesda or Bethsaida. And the pool, Bethesda, was known as a house of mercy. In this space, it was a place where there was people who were overwhelmed. There were people who were sick and blind and lame and paralyzed, and they were always there in this place. They were all in porches with upper decks and colonnades, and all the people there, they were sick. They thought it was over. It was a space and a place where there have been many disappointments in their lives. I wonder if anybody in here ever been disappointed. When people you love sometimes hurt you. When you thought that it was one way and really it was another. Disappointed. It's when you become desperate, when your life gets to a point in the situation. There's some good news, but we got to walk through it. They were desperate. All of them. They were in a place where they were in despair. And so when you're overwhelmed in this place, sometimes it's important you get overlooked. The people who were sick, they put them all over here in Bethesda. Bethesda, the house of mercy. Bethesda, the place where sick people go. And sometimes when you take sick people, you put them over there, they get overlooked. And when you overlook people who are overwhelmed and you put them over there, they lose hope. That's why we come to church. This is a Bethesda because we are all sick. We all need some healing. But sometimes you know, it's one thing to be sick and don't know you're sick. Jesus. It's one thing to be in need of healing, but don't think you need healing. In Luke 5, Jesus said, look, people who are well don't need a doctor. Sick people do. He said, I didn't come to call those who think they are righteous. I come to call those who know they are a sinner and they need to repent. That's why he came. Sick people. People who know they need a doctor. You wonder, we're talking about in his presence. You wonder why Jesus had to go to the sheep gate? He had to go to the sheep gate because when his presence showed up, it changed things. It was in the sheep gate. He knew he had to go to a place where it was in need of mercy. He went to the house of mercy, and he visits this place every Sunday, every Wednesday, every day. He comes to the house of mercy because he knows that we're all sick and we need healing. He mentions three. He mentions the blind. And maybe you hear, listen, I stop by to tell you, it's not just physical infirmities. It's spiritual infirmities, emotional infirmities. There's cognitive infirmities. There were blind people, people who couldn't see. Sometimes spiritually, we don't know what God is doing. We can't see what tomorrow might bring. We don't understand. People were lame. There were people who've been trying to walk right, but couldn't walk right. They couldn't move. You're here today, and you want with all your heart to get it right. To walk circumspectly before the Lord. You want to walk in accordance to his word. You want to walk in obedience to God. But life is pressing down because you've been overwhelmed. You've been overlooked and put over there. You can't walk the way you need to walk. Spiritually lame. You've been around the church. Jesus, please. You've been around the church, many of us, but have not grown in the church. Wait, now, listen. Not here at Hope Elam, but I'm going to go ahead and say sometimes in the church, as a babe, it's similar to a babe being pacified. You put a pacifier in a baby's mouth, and they think they're sucking, they think it's familiar, and they be calm, and they're pacified. But they're not getting substance to grow when they're being pacified. What God wants more than anything for us, he wants us to be satisfied with his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. And so we got to decide not to be pacified, but to be satisfied. And the way we do it is we grow. There were people there who were paralyzed. They couldn't move. Stuck. Sometimes life, we get stuck. We move in, we have mobility of our limbs, but we're stuck. And I'm saying we can go from being overwhelmed, overlooked. We can go from being set over there to overflow. But first we got to overcome. Before overcome, you know what's interesting? Watch this. Crowds of sick people, verse 3. Blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. And then it jumps to verse 5. Where's verse 4? Was it overlooked? In some translations, the King James and New American Standard at certain times, it was a scribe that was trying to connect the dots. And the scribe that was trying to connect the dots, they had this in King James. It says, well, for an angel would in a certain season, go down and trouble. You wonder why the man was overwhelmed. Wonder why he was feeling like he was stuck. Because at certain times of the year, it was believed that an angel, the presence of God, would come down and trouble the water. And the one who got into the water first would get a healing from their disease, get a healing from their issue. But that was taken out. Most common nowadays translations, to be more accurate, because at that time, there was not really proof that that was what had happened. They were going off of something else. When the man said, I don't have anybody to put me in the water, they just surmised that that's what it was. Today, if we're going to become a place of overflow, we got to get in his presence. And that's why we keep coming. And his presence is not just at Hope Elam. His presence is just not on Sunday morning. His presence is not just on Wednesday. His presence is every time we call upon his name, he coming. The type of God we serve, he is a God of right now. He will come. He, when you call him, he will speak and tell you great and unsearchable things. We got to overcome. And here's how. Got to keep going. Pressed on every side. Thinking you're going to give up. Thinking it's over. Pressed on every side by trouble. But we're not crushed. Some of you right now, you don't know how you made it. And you are a testimony to how God can keep you when you can't keep yourself. Some of you right now, we're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. You still have hope. You still keep coming. This man was in a great position of possibility. He was in a place for a long time, we're going to find out. In fact, we heard it in verse 5, 38 years, this man sat, laid on a mat, on a bed. Can you imagine the despair of having to watch other people get the job? Watch other people for 38 years get their blessing. People come and people go. For a long time, this man watches other people receive what they needed. And he was there on this mat. I don't know how long you've been. You've been praying. Seriously, I don't know how long. You can overcome if you don't quit. Come on, if I say can't stop, you say won't stop. Can't stop. Can't stop. We can't stop because it gets to a place where it's hard. It's going to be hard. And he says to all of us, we are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Never. He's always there. And he says to us, we get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. We're going to overcome. We will get through it. It's going to be hard sometimes. When it's overwhelmed, we can overcome. And we get into it. Hope Elam, don't quit. He says to us, for our present troubles, as big as they seem, they're really quite small when it comes to the weight of the glory that comes when God uses our issue to be a blessing unto him. When God uses our mess and he just creates a miracle to be to his glory. When you take your situation, the thing that you're dealing with, and God turns it into fine wine for his glory. So what am I saying? Don't worry. I want to give some comfort to somebody. I want to give some comfort. If you're here today and you've been anxious, you've been concerned, you think it's over, and I just want to start. It's not profound. It isn't. But it's what we believe. All the worry, all of the anxiety, all of the stuff that gets in the way, feeling overwhelmed, feeling heavy to where we can't move, we're stuck, all the stuff that we feel like is just too much, and we become paralyzed, we can't move like God wants us to. He says, stop worrying. Give it to him. He says, don't worry, because he knows your condition. The man, when Jesus showed up on the scene, the man who had been there for 38 years, while there was a lot of people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, he went to this one man, and he said, the Bible says, when he saw him, he knew that he had been there a long time. He sees you. You're not abandoned. He sees you. He sees you when it's late at night and you're praying on your pillow. He sees you when you're in your car and you're traveling. He sees you when you, in those moments where no one else is around and you truly want to give up. He sees you and he's there. He says, so I'm saying, don't worry. The comfort in this first part, how do you get over from overwhelmed to overflow? Release some of the worry. Because he sees you. Not only is he a God who sees you, he knows. He knows exactly. He knows exactly. And he says to us, look, he says he knows the condition and he cares. When Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. And so the question this morning is a question for all of us, Hope Elam. Do you want to be well? Do you want to be whole? Do you want the thing that has been the thing to be healed? Do you want to get up off of that space in a place that you've been for a long time? Are you ready to go to another level, to move from that space? The question is a loaded question, but it seems so simple. Do you want it? Sometimes it's like we know we should have it. We wish for it, but do you want it? Because when we are made well, there's a responsibility. We got to be able to walk a little better. We got to be able to move a little bit better. When we are made well, there's a responsibility of overflow. Because us getting well is not just for us. It's to the power of God to know that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Do you want to be healed? And being healed is being, like, healed is part of health. And when you're healthy, you're whole. Sometimes what God wants more than anything is whether or not we want to be healed of our sin-sick soul. That he'll come and he'll heal our soul. He'll make us whole. And at times, sometimes, he'll make sure that physically we get right, but not all the time. Not right here, right now. But he'll make us whole. I'm reminded in Mark, the second chapter, there was a man who was paralyzed. He was a paraplegic. And he had some friends. And his friends knew that Jesus had arrived in Capernaum and that he was preaching his heart out in this house. And there were so many people that had come in his presence that they couldn't get in. So they climbed up and they tore the roof off and they lowered their friend down on his mat. And Jesus didn't have to ask the question, do you want to be well? He saw their faith. So he said, your sins are forgiven. And of course, there were those who were there who said, who are you to be able to say that your sins are forgiven? He said, so that you can understand that I also have the ability to heal him. He says, get up and walk. Take your mat and go home. What he wants first is to heal our hearts. It's to deliver us from evil. It's to keep us in our sanity, trusting in Almighty God. Because once we get there, we'll be able to see some of the other things get better. That even if our physical bodies, which is decaying day by day, even if our physical bodies don't get well, our soul will be in such a good place that we'll be in a place of quality, in a place of assurance, knowing that our God is with us. I'm saying to somebody, don't worry. He knows your condition. So what do you want? Because everything you need, God's got it. Everything. John the Baptist was talking to a couple of his disciples, and he said, there he is. There he is, the Lamb of God. Takes away the sins of the world. There he is. And the two disciples that was following John, they began following Jesus. And Jesus said, he turned and said, what do you want? It matters what we want. Do we want, like, they wanted to be with the rabbi. They wanted to be in his presence. And later on, we're going to see, he said, well, come and see. Come on. Don't worry, he knows your condition, but don't whine. Listen, I hesitated putting this in here because I'm talking to myself. Please, everybody in the space, in the Hope Elam, in Bethesda, I'm talking to myself. So, Brian Brown, don't whine. Stop whining. Stop making excuses. Stop whining. He asked the question, do you want to be well? Here's the response. Sir, I'm sick. I'm hurt. I've tried. Somebody always go before me. I keep wanting to come down for prayer, but every time I want to come down for prayer, somebody beats me to it. So I just go home with my mat, and I go and I do my thing. He says, for I have no one to put me into the pool when it bubbles up. Someone else gets there ahead of me. Now listen, Let's flip the script a little bit. Yeah, that's what he said. But for 38 years, no one helped him. At some point, there are some people coming and going and getting blessed and getting an understanding and growing in their relationship. No one helped this man. No one help, so it gave him no hope. So when Jesus asked him the question, he's like, what's going to change? Who are you? Sometimes we feel like there's no way. We keep putting ourselves in a position of possibility. We're in the right place, in the right position, but our perspective and our heart posture is like, it's not going to get any better. And he's saying to here right now, he says, look, no more whining. No more excuses. I know life is hard. It is overwhelming for everybody, but it's time. Can't stop. Can't stop. So for all of us, we all been here from time to time. Don't worry. Don't whine. What he wants is our commitment. Like, are we going to accept the challenge? The challenge of understanding is hard, but when Jesus is on the scene, when he shows up, he'll give you everything you need to get from here to there. The main thing is we got to understand sometimes we can't stay where we are. And for somebody today, it's moving day. The mat that you've been on for a long time, you can't stay there. Not today. And you can't return to that space. Don't worry, don't whine, but don't wait. Come and see. It's right here, right now. So don't wait. He wants to know your conviction. Conviction has to do with a choice. What choice are we going to make? What decision are we going to make? When he says, now is your time. When he whispers into your ear. When you know. We've been doing experiencing God. There's a difference between knowing of God and knowing him. It's experiential. When you go through some stuff, you know for yourself. And when you know him for yourself, you can endure a little while longer. You can help somebody along the way overflow. You can help somebody who couldn't help themselves because you've been through it. There is a time and a place, and sometimes the kairos, sometimes the divine moment is right here. Don't wait. When the word of God comes and says, listen, maybe you have been overwhelmed. Maybe you have been overlooked. Maybe you have been sat over there and you're ready to overcome. The overflow has to do with your choice. Just to take a step, just to get up. He says, Jesus told him, stand up. Again, if I'm the man, give me some slack. Give me a break. I've been there for a long time. I don't even know if it's going to even work. And you're asking me to get up, to stand up. Maybe you've been here a long time and you don't know if it's going to work. Maybe for this man, the pool thing wasn't working for him. Maybe you've been going to a place and putting your hope in something and it's not working for you. But then Jesus shows up and you know your spirit connects with his spirit and you know it's time to stand up. It's time to move. It's time to shift your story. It's time to shift the atmosphere. It's time to do something different, something that you've never done. And sometimes it's just being obedient and standing up. Because when you stand up, you're ready to move. When you stand up, you're ready to go. You stand up when you go all in. Say, God, I don't know. I have no idea when I stand up. I have no idea how I'm going to do tomorrow. I have no idea how the rest of the day is going to go. But God, in obedience to you, I don't want to wait no more. I'm not waiting for the water to be troubled, God. I'm not waiting for something else to happen. God, I hear you. I hear you. And I know it's you. And I'm going to stand up. God, I'm just going to take that leap of faith. Then he says, pick up your mat. Pick up your bed. Pick up the thing where you've been sitting on, laying around on, the thing that you have been really convenient with and familiar with. The reason you got to pick it up because you're not coming back. You're not coming back there. Pick it up. And when you pick it up, the very thing that is your grief is going to turn to his glory. And people need to see it. The very thing, the mat, the bed that you was on and you thought you couldn't move because you was blind, lame, and paralyzed, the very thing that was your mess, he's going to form a miracle. It's going to be a masterpiece to his glory. The very thing. He said, but you can't get to the place, you can't walk in overflow if you don't first stand up. He told him, stand up and pick up your mat. Obelam, what God is doing in and around with the faces and the people and everybody that's here has nothing to do with man. It has to do with what an almighty God is doing. And so the trust and the confidence that we put our hope in is not the pool. It's not the water. It's the one that's in the water. It's not in the program or the class. is the one who is supernaturally in charge of the class. So pick up your mat, pick up the thing that has been overwhelming, and walk. Walk. Move. And sometimes we don't know where to go. And I'm saying, stand up, pack it up, and walk it out. When you walk it out, the main way that we get to overcome and to overflow is we stay in His presence. It's in His presence that changes everything. All of the stuff, like our overwhelming feelings of worry, when we get in His presence and we release it all to Him, He gives us a peace. He is the Prince of Peace. When we think that nobody cares and that we're outside of the ark of safety, then we read the Word of God and He said that whosoever will come and you can be part of the family, you learn that He is an everlasting Father. People who have not had a good father, people who've had a great father, but still got somebody who's saying, I am Abba, Father, and I'm everlasting. You hear and you're like, well, man, I don't have anybody to walk with me. You need some counsel. He is a wonderful counselor. And I'm not saying that He won't bring you somebody to walk with you as you walk it out, but I am saying that when you get in His presence, He'll show you who it is. He'll give you understanding, not him, not her, not right now, but that one. Come and see. Don't worry. He knows your condition. He already knows everything about your story. He knows about your situation, your infirmity. He knows all of your problems, predicaments, and pains and pressures. He knows them all. He got it. He knows your condition. He said, don't whine, because there's going to be a time that we got a challenge in our lives. So stand up. Don't wait. Do it now. Okay. It's time. And I'm saying, for somebody that's here today, we have been establishing, it's time to go, we've been establishing a prayer culture that is lovely. Hope Elam, it's lovely because we can't do life alone. And no matter how long it takes, don't leave until you come. If you desire, walk it out. Stand up, pack up, and walk up and get your blessing. Prayer changes things. He said, ask and seek and knock. He said, we get to do this together. We have a prayer culture that is being established that we're in this thing together. Bethesda, a house of mercy, all of us are sick in here. All of us need healing. And the Word of God, when it comes forth, the overflow is for everybody. The man who got his healing, watch this. He was walking in abundance. One, because he was walking. He was walking with more than enough. All he had was his bed. Sometimes all we got is what we got. And we think we need a whole lot more, but you walking and talking and you getting. Sometimes we extend beyond the limit. We have overflow in our lives. Some people right now, you know and I know, it's not about how much or how little you have. Pain comes for everybody. Death comes for everybody. Loss is a part of everybody. But overflow says, it's too much to keep it to myself. I got to share it with somebody. I got to let somebody else know that when you are in His presence, He'll it's a balm from Gilead that will heal the sin-sick soul. When you are in His presence and you understand, you start to be attracted to the light. Dark things stand out, and you know now, not that. So when this man, after Jesus left, look at Jesus. He found him in the temple. The man who had 38 years, who had been by a pool waiting for somebody else to help him into the water, when he found his healing, he didn't even know who Jesus was. Not yet. Jesus disappeared into the crowd. But then Jesus found him. Ain't that like Jesus, though? First, he'll pursue us, he'll bless us, and he just go away. And we think that he's not there. But isn't that just like Jesus? He won't stop pursuing. He'll keep coming. Jesus found this man in the temple. A lot of places he could have went, but overflow. He's walking in overflow. It's more than a moment of getting something that he wanted or wished for or something he thought would be nice. The man went to church. He went to the temple. He went to the place where worship was going on. So when you have been blessed, when you have been healed, when you have been turned around, he says, I'm saying we ought to go in with them overflow and come to the house. But let's read all of it. And he told him, it's tight, but it's right. Now you are well. So stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you. Then the man who went told all the leaders, Jesus was the man that healed me. So I thought about, what kind of sin could this man have been getting into? Laying on a mat for 38 years? He wasn't necessarily doing anything. What kind of sin would be worse? What? And then I thought, you know, you don't have to be inflicting pain, but in your heart you can have jealousy or envy or covet. And I was like, why would that be worse? Well, when you're sitting there, you are already in a place where you can't move, you're paralyzed. But when you're walking, talking, and doing all those things, and you're doing all of these things, the sinning, he said, it's worse because you have everything you need. You don't have any excuse. You're not an excuse necessarily to be completely overwhelmed. You have a chance to get it right. So he's saying to all of us, walk in overflow. And I'm saying to somebody, you're good, Kyle. Just a little bit keys, Kyle, as we begin. Maybe you're here today, and I'm going to ask the prayer partners, establish our culture. If you're here, please come. Just be a part of what's troubling the water today. Prayer partners, will you come? And you stand. And for those who are here and you know it's moving day, it's time. I'm going to ask you to stand up. It's moving day. It's moving day. Yeah, we all can stand. We all can stand up. Amen. That's good. That's real good. And as we all stand, as we're about to hear from our worship team, as we stand up, it's the choice for those who are here. And we got time. If you desire to stand up and you want to pack up that old mat, that old bed, and use time to move to a different place, to a different space in your spiritual walk, I invite you to walk up now. Walk up and get your blessing from our prayer partners. While the worship team comes, if you're here, let nothing stand in the way of getting your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.